All right, we are live on a Tuesday night. Take two, because the first take that me and Aaron did, we got interrupted. Jason is in the middle of a late night nap. And so we thought he wasn't going to come on, and he texted us saying he's coming on.
Well, we thought he was knocked out like that boxing match. Speaking of the devil, we thought he was knocked out. But the referee ruled it not a knockdown, right. So there he is.
Not out for the count. Everybody, give it up for Jason Zinke. Welcome to the show.
Well, you know, just kicked out on a late two count, you know, had me down 1-2, but just got the shoulder
up like
right before
the three.
Two
and three quarters,
just got
it up
the shoulder.
Up. Maybe it's a low count by the ref. You never know. Depends on the referee.
Well, you seem pretty alert. It's not like that one time where I was like knocked out the whole night and then I woke up like at, what, 10 o'clock from a day of drinking.
Yeah, you were out for like 4 hours though, Rome.
Yeah, I was out for 4 hours, yeah. I was groggy coming back. Don't remember recording the pod. That's great.
I think Aaron and I were calling you for like an hour or something like that.
Yeah, a couple hours. Yeah. Woke up like,
and,
dude, what's
and
up?
Then you woke up calls? Like an hour later, like, hey, do you guys want to go on? We're like, yeah. And then you were like, that was back in, I believe, week 4 or week 5 of the NFL season. Early October.
It was in October because I was in the Eastern time zone because I think we were recording till like 2 or 3 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in the hotel, right?
Yep.
I think so. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We haven't recorded since last week. Lots of big stuff has happened in the NFL, NBA, NHL, all over sports. First, we'll just get out of the way. Jason, you sucked me back into racing. I watched the whole St. Petersburg race on Saturday. I think it was Saturday, right?
That was Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. I saw the whole thing. I think I missed like maybe like the middle 20 laps when I walked the dog really quick to so he can take care of his business outside. Pretty exciting. I saw the crash in lap 3. Took out some rookies, some promising young drivers. And then I saw it was crazy. Somebody ran out of gas at the end, so they kind of dropped out of position from like second to third or fourth or something like that. And just them not, I don't know, like the weirdest part about watching that race was like literally all the teams were like, do we go in for new tires? Do we not go in for new tires? It's just like everybody was kind of like squeaking just to get to the end. But it was a pretty fun race, though. It was pretty cool.
Was a great race to kick off the IndyCar season. It had like a 44% increase in viewership year over year for its debut on Fox.
Really?
for IndyCars. Yeah, I saw that drop today. So, yeah, great win. Defending champion Alex Palou got the win. You mentioned Joseph Newgarden for Penske driver, won the Indy 500 last year, kind of ran out of gas there in the last one, dropped from second to third, still was able to finish the race. But
that's what it was.
Super exciting race. Yeah, had a crash early on, had one of the other Penske drivers, Will Power, go out with one of the McLarens, I think it was, being collected in that. So, yeah, really, really exciting race to get the IndyCar season started. You know, it's not a bad way to kick off a Sunday morning, a 9 a.m. you know, 9 a.m. race, get the racing going, you know, early in the day. But, you know, a good start. You know, Fox got a nice broadcast there. It was the first IndyCar broadcast on Fox. I thought it was a pretty good job. Some shaky stuff with the graphics and stuff a little bit early on that they had. So some of the timing and stuff, and there was a problem during the qualifying. It was even kind of worse too. So
it bugged me so much because I do branding and design. I've done packaging and stuff, and a lot of the graphics were not centered. It looked like they just pieced together a whole bunch of boxes, and it was like tripping me. I'm like, is this how they always do it? So I just kind of chalked up. It might just be like a racing thing, but it didn't look great. Even like the ticker thing was like off, and I don't know. It just a lot of things look like they were malfunctioning. But other than that, though, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. If you're a racing fan, cool doubleheader because they timed it. Basically, the IndyCar race started, and it transitioned right into the NASCAR race on Fox.
That's so when I turned it off.
turn it off. Well, I had a little in between, but you know, NASCAR, they were down in Austin at the Circuit of the Americas, and that was a road course for NASCAR. So NASCAR's done a bunch more of like road course tracks and different type things, and not just everything ovals, which is kind of NASCAR's history. So that was a really good race as well too. Because yeah, so good Sunday, man. You know, I got you watching IndyCar. Formula One hasn't even started in Australia yet, man. I'm rubbing off on you, Rome.
Yeah, well, you know, I like racing. When they were hitting like 160 on the straightaways, I was just telling Aaron, like, that's what I hit on the freeway in my BMW, man. It feels so good. I took a turn recently a little too hard, or like it could have been a little too hard. It was like one of those turns where you're only supposed to go 35, and I was hitting 70. And I wanted to take it a little sharper, but I could tell, like, you know, if I just turned 1 centimeter too far, like, I was going to roll the car, and I didn't want to do that. You know, that's the dumbest thing to do is, you know, at my age, at our age. So I'm a good driver, but I don't have a roll cage. I don't have a team behind me. So kind of lived it up a little bit. But no, it was really cool, though. Palau, is that how you say his name?
Alex Palau, yeah.
Alex Palau. Yeah, he came, I think he kind of, he was in the middle of the pack. And then I think he, when everyone was taking their pit stops around the lap 70, I think, 70 to 75, that's when he came out of nowhere and Palau's it out. Allows it out.
Yeah, it was interesting with the early caution that you talked about. You have to run two different tire sets throughout there. I got no laughs on that, Rome. Wasn't that funny, Rome? Sorry, Aaron.
Aaron, you can edit that part out. Yeah. It out.
But yeah, oh, yeah, talk about the tire sets, because I didn't really understand that one either.
Basically, you just have two different sets of tires, like a harder and soft, and like similar to Formula One. I think Formula One's got usually three different sets because there's a small, medium, and hard set. But yeah, for IndyCar, they got two different sets. You had to run different. But the early caution, you had teams, you know, switching from the softer to a higher car pound depending how they started the race. But it got teams on a lot of different strategies very early on too. So you saw basically people on different pit cycles and how they were going to kind of manage gas. And tires, IndyCar, you have to, like NASCAR, they refuel mid-race. Formula One, it's just tires. Like, they basically, there's no refueling in Formula One. So IndyCar, a little bit different strategy for how you're going to manage both your fuel and your tires. So that's kind of where you saw the difference.
So basically,
cycle.
You get one full tank of gas the whole race. And if you don't make it, you don't make it.
I saw them refuel. No,
in IndyCar they refuel. In Formula One, they do not refuel.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. It's one tank for the entire time. So you'll hear Formula One drivers talk about that a lot because the car weighs significantly more at the start of the race versus the end of the race, and it handles, you know, a lot differently. But yeah, IndyCars, you know, they refuel during the race. So there's a big gas proponent to that, but also, you know, the different tire strategies and stuff. So in this race in St. Petersburg for IndyCar, you know, they were on different pit strategies because of which tire you started with and which one you didn't, because you got a longer distance in the harder tire than versus the soft tire when you were decided to do that at the beginning or the middle of the race. So yeah, interesting strategies.
There was somebody during their pit stop, it was going really well, and then they had the right tire wasn't getting back on. It took like an extra 4 seconds, and then the fuel line was stuck as well, and it dropped them back a considerable amount. I can't remember the name, though. I'm still learning everyone's name, so
I'm pretty sure that was Colton Herta, his pit stop. I think he had a bad one. So he was runner-up last year. He's for Andretti Global Racing. Colton Herta is actually a second-generation driver. He's actually one of the Americans that has been rumored about for the Cadillac Formula One ride when Cadillac goes to Formula One. So there's a lot of interest in him of getting an American driver. He's probably one of the best IndyCar drivers. Hasn't won a title in IndyCar yet, so he's kind of one of the favorites this year, but wasn't the best start for him for the Andretti team.
Pretty cool. Well, you got your 10 minutes of racing, so let's move on. Just kidding.
I got 10 minutes of racing, and then I got like at least a half hour talking wrestling here at some point in the pod, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, you want to squeeze some wrestling in?
Oh, 100%, man. I said the text out Saturday night.
I have no clue what's going on.
This was one of the biggest weekends in wrestling history, man. I mean, I don't know how you gotta talk about it. I mean, you had segments on First Take talking about wrestling. You had The Daily Show with Jon Stewart using it as an analogy to global affairs.
Oh, wow. So it's a pretty big deal.
Huge deal.
In the wrestling world, yeah. Big deal.
Well, cool. Yeah, Indy was great. So happy that kicked off. I didn't even know it was starting because we didn't talk about it last week, but it was a nice surprise. So that was great. Let's go to NBA. Big news today. Kyrie out for the season. Torn ACL that he suffered last night. Shot free throws with tears down his cheeks. Shot him just in case he can come back. Even the in-game interviews were hopeful that he would come back, but man, he looked like he was in a lot of pain, and you kind of figured it was going to be a pretty bad injury. So tough break for the Dallas Mavericks. I tweeted that the Nico curse is live. It's on. We can call it like the curse of Nico or the Harris curse. You know, Harris because his last name, Harris because the casinos. There's like so many levels you can go with that. I'm going to play with that a little bit. But with him out and AD, news, well, at least speculation was that he's going to probably sit out for the rest of the year, shut it down as well. Their season is going quickly down the tubes, man, and that trade is looking worse and worse and worse by the day, especially this quick chemistry that LeBron and Luka are developing with the rest of the Lakers squad, man. They are dishing and dashing. They're diving. And Jason
goes in the dark.
Yeah.
In the dark, man. Just grim like the Mavericks future right now.
Very grim. Like there you go. Future. So pretty big deal. So Kyrie's one of my favorite players to watch. Pretty big loss. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I don't even know what their prospects are for like drafting or like positioning. But if you go to the leaderboard, we were talking about how they may not make the play-in with all these injuries, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it anymore.
Yeah, Rome, I mean, they're not making the play-in. I mean, I know looking right now, they got a 3-game lead over the Suns. I don't think the Suns are going to make it. I mean, we haven't talked a lot about this team, but the Portland Trail Blazers, I'm going on the record tonight. They're going to get into the play-in tournament. They're going to leapfrog Phoenix. They're going to leapfrog Dallas. The Mavericks are done. We talked about what does Dallas do now. You got to tank the season. There's no reason to bring back AD. Kyrie's got a player option for next year. I expect him to decline that.
Become a
restricted free agent. We'll see what kind of deal Dallas gives him because they were going to give him the super max that they could. That's off the table now. Given that he's going to be 33, coming off an ACL.
Well, he doesn't really have that loyalty, too, with Dallas. You know, he's only been there for half a year, so.
Well, I think Dallas is pretty loyal to him. I mean, they traded Luka. So, well, they basically were going to build the team around Kyrie, AD, and then whoever else they get, which looked like it could have been a pretty good squad. I mean, AD in 31 minutes looked great. Kyrie's looked pretty good. And now both, like you mentioned, Rome, are likely done for the season. Dallas fans, whatever you want to call it, the curse of Nico, maybe the curse of Luka, maybe the curse of Mark Cuban, who knows? It's a start over for Dallas, but this draft, from what I heard, is pretty deep for NBA standards, at least in the lottery. That's where Dallas could end up. I heard if they go in full tank mode, they could get maybe a top 4 pick if the lottery balls fall their way, but
really?
Maybe 8 or 9. Yeah, that's what they were saying.
Huh.
So, I mean, the Cooper Flag sweepstakes in Philadelphia and Dallas have begun because that's where both teams are looking to try to land.
Yeah, I think we're talking about off the air, but I feel really bad for Klay Thompson signed into the offseason. Hoping to add that spark, that final piece to a championship run. Now he's all by himself, man. And he looked kind of dejected. I think the last game that they were playing against the Warriors when Curry was just like splashing all over the, you know, from deep. He wasn't even looking at the game, just staring off in space. It was, I don't know, kind of tough, man. You think you're going to go to a winning organization, a winning team, and then things can fall apart like that. This is like the biggest fall from grace, like in 30 days, I can remember for any team. I'm trying to remember if anything this dramatic has ever happened to like such a contender. Besides this one, like when Kobe tore his Achilles when they were looking pretty good with that squad, but they didn't do anything in the playoffs. If you guys remember, they got swept after that. So Other news, LeBron, first guy in history, 50,000 combined points, regular season, playoffs. I'm not a LeBron hater. Maybe I am. I don't know. I've talked a lot of shit on him, but, you know, I got like a lot of respect, man. It's been like a lot of fun seeing him play these last few months. 50 points is pretty impressive. The most consistent guy, like healthiest guy for a superstar ever in NBA history. I think like in all of sports, possibly. This guy looks great, man. I didn't even know he could still play defense. He's been solid, but of course now he's not burning the oil on both sides, right? He's not spending as much time on offense because you got Luka, you got Austin Reeves kind of running that, and everybody else is just kind of plugging and playing. But LeBron did that tonight when they were playing their in-season rival nemesis, the Pelicans. So pretty impressive. Lakers on a 7-game winning streak, number 2 in the standings at 39-21, which I was kind of like thinking that that would be the best case scenario. Like, oh, they have a shot, you know, like they're within 3-4 games, but I didn't actually think that they would actually get it this soon. They're on a tear, man. And I don't know. Do you guys think Lakers stay in that 2-2 spot? Nuggets are still pretty good. They got Russell Westbrook. It looks like Murray's kind of hitting on all cylinders again, but I kind of feel like that team has to hit on all cylinders no matter what to go on a deep run as well.
I think the interesting, Roman, you could correct me on this too. They defensively was the biggest liability they talked about when they acquired Luka is where this team was, but they have been great defensively during this like winning streak right now. So where they thought maybe like, hey, it's going to be a liability where they go. This team's got a lot of holes defensively, but I mean, they played some, you know, not the hardest opponents, but they pretty sure during this, they played Denver and, you know, they really kind of shut Joker down for a lot of that game. And I, you know, if this is kind of a preview to what you would see during the playoffs where, you know, games get a little more intense, defense becomes, you know, something that, you know, is a little more of a postseason type thing versus the regular season. We kind of let things go. You know, the Lakers all of a sudden are a much bigger contender in a side of the basketball that was seen as potentially a liability with Luka versus what's looking at it like a strength.
They beat on some pretty good teams. They beat on the Knicks. They beat on Denver, the Golden State as well. The teams that they lost in the past month have all been like bottom dwellers. You got Jazz, 76ers. I think the Jazz twice, right? Or Jazz once, and then the Hornets. So,
yeah, I mean, over the last, what, month, Rome, I think their defense is overall number 2 ranked. And that's kind of what's got them going on this winning streak. Luka's kind of struggled, but back-to-back games, putting up 30-plus points. He's a streaky shooter. You know, Reeves has been out for a couple games. A couple other guys have been hurting on their team. But, yeah, I mean, for the Lakers, their schedule's been a little soft here. A lot of home games. They're getting ready to go on a stretch here. They got the Knicks coming up here Thursday at home. And then they go Boston, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Denver, all on the road. So even going 2-2 in that stretch would be good. It looks to me like they're probably going to get the 2 seed. Memphis just lost, Jackson? He's week to week with high ankle sprain. Nuggets, not the same team they were. They just don't have the depth. They're not a good defensive team. I think they ranked 19th overall in the league. The year they won the title, they were a top 5. We talk about defense. It wins titles, whatever league you're in. And that's where the Lakers have gotten better. 7 straight wins, defensively been really good. Vanderbilt's come back, added length and size. We'll see what they do in the playoffs. I mean, matchups are matchups. Right now they're scheduled to play Minnesota. I know they've beaten them. They beat them, what, the last time we were on the pod here on Thursday. But Randall was out. They got him back. They look a lot better. They're 2-0 since they got him. So maybe Minnesota's getting ready to go on a run. Warriors, Jimmy Butler. When he plays, they win. Big win at New York, Madison Square Garden. And then, you know, Houston. I don't really buy Houston and Memphis. They're too young to me. OKC with Williams, Jalen, and SGA. They're both balling. Those guys are, I think, the number 2 backcourt scoring. So there's going to be some interesting matchups in the Western Conference playoffs when it gets started here. And only 6 weeks out. Only 6 weeks away.
There's this guy, Kirk Goldsberry, he has like some pretty cool stats. I think I sent you guys some stuff, but he always does like a weekly graph for like, you know, every 10 games. And yeah, in the last 10 games, Lakers are number 7, like net. So top 10 offense, number 2 defense, last 10 games. The teams that are in that quadrant, like the top corner where like they have good defense efficiency and good offensive efficiency. Yeah, the Cavs are number 1. They're number 1 in both categories. Detroit Pistons, number 2. Number 4 on offense, number 3 on defense. Pretty impressive. Golden State has been number 4 total with the 5th best offense and 5th best defense in the NBA in the last 10 games. Or maybe that's the Celtics. It's a little mixed up here. I can't really tell. AC, and then you got Denver. So not that many teams that are in the plus in both categories. Lakers have a pretty tough stretch, man. They played the Knicks on Thursday and then Celtics this weekend on Saturday. And then
got the Nuggets in there and the Bucks. Bucks have been playing much better as well. So they got a good stretch. They got a good stretch, kind of see where they're at instead of playing the Pelicans, the Clippers, who I'm not buying stock in, and, you know, banged up T-Wolves team. So we'll see where they're at. Reeves should be back by then for them.
Is like defense like the biggest thing, like the biggest surprise with the Lakers for you guys?
I think so. I mean, I kind of talked about that just a few minutes ago because it was saying like Luka's going to add a ton of offense. This was his biggest liability. You mentioned the LeBron aspect, you know, maybe just the fact that he doesn't have to be so much on the offensive side that he's able to put more into the defense. But I think this is a type of team now where things translate to the postseason. I don't know if they're enough to make up the gulf between them and the Thunder. Because if you look at the West right now, it's the Thunder and kind of everybody else from the standings perspective.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And they're still kind of there. I mean, even in the East, you could almost say that too with Cleveland and the rest. Like Boston was trying to make a little bit of a statement game here recently where they were up like 20 something points in the first quarter or something like that. And Cleveland came back and stormed back and won that game. And they've won 11 straight right now, just really just over just dominating far and away in the Eastern Conference right now. So you kind of got these two presumptive favorites overall, but you know, you get into the playoffs, things could happen. The Lakers obviously are, you know, playing a little more of the long game. And if they're able to translate this game to the playoffs on the defensive side, and you know, still save, you know, I don't want to say saving LeBron here a little bit, but you know, you're getting to that point and you know, a little bit of an, you know, aging LeBron. He's played a lot of games this year. Like what, if you get into long series in the postseason, is it something sustainable from this team too? I still think a lot of questions on Luka, but playing himself into shape kind of right now too, what's he's going to be like getting into the playoffs. So, but I mean, it's setting the Lakers apart here, you know, 7 straight wins, 8-2 in the last 10, you know, even like you said, Rome, they got a tough schedule. They could make some statement gazes against some really good teams that are, you know, high end playoff caliber.
To Cavaliers, man, you're right. They're just like the Thunder. Celtics are not going to catch up, right? So Celtics, it's a battle for second and third, basically, Celtics and Knicks at this point. Celtics are a really good team. Jason Tatum, man, he's like balling out. I finally caught like a few more games the past few weeks, and he's looking better than ever. And yet, he played a pretty solid game against the Cavs from what I saw.
Dropped 46.
46 and Dominic Mitchell, man, just like he's such an enigma to me because he was great, you know, with Utah, right? And I don't think they should have broken up that team. They were pretty solid. They almost went to the conference finals. They were pretty competitive. It could have added a few more pieces, but they, you know, Ainge decided to rip that whole thing apart. And now he's on Cleveland, and I think we were talking about this like last year, like people were how, you know, he might want to leave, right? He wasn't really happy. He's looking pretty happy now because this guy's balling. And man, like it's like, do you give them a shot to be like true, you know, true contenders? Like, can they beat the Celtics in a 7-game series?
Absolutely, man. I mean, what the Cavs are doing is no joke. Like, so they're good. I mean, they're really good. They started the year off, what 15-0, some crazy number like that. Now Jason just said they've won 11 in a row. you know, Mitchell, there was kind of speculation, but he's never come out and demanded a trade anywhere. He never demanded out of Utah.
He hasn't, no.
He was there balling, like you said. They were number one seed. They got upset in the second round. I mean, I know he didn't get along with Rudy Gobert, but seemingly nobody does on any team he's been on. Even Minnesota kind of like is ready to slap him beside the head. And then he goes to Cleveland. They played well last year. Remember, they beat the Magic in seven games. And then I think Mitchell was hurt for that playoff series. Only played in like one game against the Celtics in which they got swept or got beat in five. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, they were down 20. Tatum goes off for 46. I think Jaylen Brown had 30-something in that game. And the Cavs came roaring back on a Friday night. Big win. And then they played again Sunday, early afternoon, our time. No Mitchell, and beat a tough Portland team in overtime. So yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland is the real deal. The Thunder are the real deal in the West. You know, we talked about the Lakers defensively; they've been good, but we all know once we get in the playoffs,
it's just
studying teams, looking for mismatches. Say what you want, Luka's still a terrible on-ball defender, and the Lakers.
No, there's still holes. It's just JJ; he's game planned really well. I think with the Lakers, you know. Like a really good a point guard like Kyrie can like destroy their, you know, their defense up. When I'm watching the games, they're lacking someone in the center position that actually like, you know, do some shot blocking. But overall though, like team defense, it's, I don't know how the hell they got better by losing their number one defensive guy. Like it's weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think there's a couple things. A, coaching. And then B, players actually stepping up knowing like, hey, because when you got somebody back there on the back line, you get a little bit lazy on defense. You're like, hey, you know, if I make a mistake.
So they're too dependent on AD?
Yeah. I think even LeBron's basically every game was like, dude, without AD, like we're screwed. And then they blew out the Knicks without AD. And then that's when they moved them. Remember, we talked about that last week. Like they blow out the Knicks.
Yeah.
AD's on vacation, basically rehabbing. And then, you know, FaceTimes LeBron like, hey, dude, what the hell? I'm going to Dallas. Like, sorry, bro. Yeah. I'll see you in the summer.
I'll see you this summer, man. We'll have some
Cancun,
tacos.
Cancun, man.
I don't really have much to talk about the basketball. You know, we can like kind of like touch up on teams as we kind of go. Maybe we can start like kind of zeroing on some of these teams a little bit. But Pistons, man, I love watching Cade. The Pistons, they're just dominating. They're a fun team to watch. They're number six in the East right now. No one's catching them. We got the six already solidified on the East. It's a mess, 7-10. It is pretty ugly. It kind of reminds me of, like, the East, like, what, like, a decade ago?
I don't know. It feels like the East has been like this for, like, 25 years.
Since the Bulls left the East and were good, I feel like the East has been a mess.
Wait, yeah. Who left the East?
The Bulls, just basically, when they exited from being contenders in the East. The East has been a train wreck.
Yeah. That's a mess, dude. Look at these records. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Bulls are still in the playoff conversation at 24-38 right now.
Dude, at number 10.
Three-game lead for the 10 spot.
Hey, Jason's preseason thing about picking them at number 10 is going to come true. You guys got it locked.
Got it locked, man. They trade away everybody and just, you know, they're 2-8 in their last 10 and still somehow.
And still are basically pulling away from Brooklyn.
This is... I wish we could just like have like years. Like we don't need to do the play-in this year. Let's just like cut that one out. Let's just move on.
Well, we talked about the last pod where it's just like getting rid of the conferences and just rolling this thing up to
you don't need those three other teams. You know, it's disgusting.
You don't need the four other teams like Miami down. It's just like terrible. Like Miami's having their worst year in a long time right now. But hey, they're gonna be in the playoffs and
still
get
seven.
Yeah, they're gonna get roasted in the first round. But okay, cool. We'll play along.
Yeah, I mean
anybody below the 10th seed too on the West. Like we don't need to see them either.
Yeah, I mean, agree. 7-10 in the East is bad. I mean, I think that Pistons Knicks first round matchup is gonna be a really good one. I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit beats them in that first round. That's going to be a really, really good matchup.
I wouldn't be surprised either. They Pistons got some moxie, man. I don't know, whatever it is that you need to be a good team, they just have it, man. They just got a lot of poise. It's a fun young team. The only time I didn't like rooting for the Pistons was when they faced my Lakers. The Tayshaun Prince, Billups years, and of course I'm not going to like them. All right, I'm good with NBA for now. You guys good?
Yep.
Cool, let's take a quick break. All right, before we get into Jason's WWE monologue, which I'm pretty sure he got anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes in that one, based on the last part that I was editing, you know, we took so many tangents, man. It was an indie car race in itself, man. So many twists and turns in that one. It was a fun pod, though. Let's talk about NFL because we have some cool shit happening in there. First, the Jets, they continue to overhaul their team. Rodgers is out. Now there's just rumors of like who's he going to go to next. Giants look like the leading candidate right now. Same thing with Vegas. I don't know how much Adam has left in the tank, but we'll see. What do you guys think? Did he follow Rodgers somewhere?
I mean, that was my prediction at the beginning of the offseason, or even before the offseason really started, that wherever Rodgers was going to go, it was almost going to be a package deal. I think that's likely dependent on the location, but you take some taking the Rams off the board probably for Rodgers at this point. We talked about where does
Thank
he go?
Is it the Rams don't want him. You don't want him.
You got the Giants hanging out there, your Steelers. I don't know. Maybe Raiders. I don't know. Raiders is the intriguing one. If Rodgers goes there, do the Raiders want Adams back? I think that may be the only like hesitation, though. But
you never know. But, well, it's a new regime. It's kind of weird, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Rams, though. Stafford, but last time we were on the pod, he re-signs the Rams. No information, though, yet on the contract, which is kind of weird. You should get some of those leaks around. Aaron, I think you were talking about, you know, what is it?
Kind of basically like a year-to-year basis, kind of like what he was doing before.
I like that.
It's worked for the Rams.
I feel like Rams are a pretty good team, man. Like, they were just a few plays from upsetting the Eagles. And I'm not sure if we talked about it on the pod, man. I think maybe 4 out of 10 times they beat the Eagles, and they go on to possibly maybe 1/4 of that go on to win a Super Bowl. So they got a fighting chance for like the next year or two.
I don't know about winning the Super Bowl in there, but I will say like they have a head coaching advantage a lot of times when they're playing. I think McVay's the type of coach that's always going to get the most out of his team and understand what he has. And even if you're not looking at a record year to year that is best in the NFC, he's going to figure it out throughout the year to make the adjustments to go on a run, to win games, to be in the playoffs and potentially made a run. The Stafford aspect's interesting. I don't even think, Rome, you said contract. I don't think he signed any sort of contract deal unless I missed that. I think he's 2 years left on his deal overall. They just decided they weren't moving on from him unless Aaron knew that. Because I didn't. No?
Yeah,
they
so the contract last year, like the reason why there's like kind of a little bit bad blood, they basically borrowed money that was guaranteed on the last 2 years to give him on the current deal, or like last year rather. So it wouldn't make sense for him to continue playing that deal because then he wouldn't be making any more money. So they had to restructure again. The whole thing was like to re-sign a new one. But they haven't released those details yet of like what that re-signing is, like what that new contract looks like.
Yeah, so I believe he had, like Jason said, a year or two left, but no guaranteed money.
Yeah.
So I think the restructure was to get some guaranteed money and then maybe guarantee the next year if he does come back. So that's
a signing bonus too.
Yeah. So I think, like you mentioned, Rome, basically they took $5 million off of preceding salaries and just gave it to him up front. It's basically like a roster bonus, as you would say.
Yeah, the tricky part is to make it so it's not hard on that cap. And I think you have to, that's when you do the guaranteed signing bonus money instead of the salary. I think that's right.
Yeah, you get into them just reworking cap stuff like year to year because you're trying to figure out how to make more cap space, but there's an element of guaranteed money with all these guys. So it turns into a cap space, you know, configuration. I know they upped the overall cap number, I think, by a couple of million.
Yeah.
That was coming out this year too. So I think teams wait on that news on what the cap increase is going to be to no flexibility, but I mean, overall, just the bigger topic for the Rams, like you said. Like, the game was close in Philly, and I think weather pending, they definitely could have pulled the upset, like you said, Rome. But I just think McVay is always going to understand the retooling and stuff with this team. I think that's the beauty of the NFL with the salary cap and where things are at. Like, you know, you get conversations about Cooper Kupp and things like that. Like, these guys got to think about, like, what's the worth of them, and like, does McVay have it in him to let somebody like Cooper Kupp go because he knows, hey, I need to find a cheaper option and I know I can make something out of it. And that's always where I think the sustainability of, you know, head coaches like, you know, John Harbaugh or somebody like Andy Reid or something like that, they always know how to, like, I gotta let somebody big go, but I can make almost the money ball stuff. I can make it up in the aggregate with other people, even when you don't have a star. And I think that sets some teams apart from others, you know, year to year, who are always consistently good. I would throw your guy Tomlin in there too, but you probably disagree with me on that. But he always at least puts that defense out there where they're going to be competitive year over year. And he's going to figure out the pieces. And, you know, I don't know what he does on offense year to year, but it somehow gets by.
You and me too, man.
The problem with the Steelers was where the Rams have got to figure it out is they have Stafford. I think with the Rams and what a lot of teams I think are starting to adjust to is basically if you got a star quarterback and you have at least decent to nice pieces on offense, invest in your defense. Say what you want. The Rams moved off Jalen Ramsey, got rid of him. Aaron Donald retired, so that freed up a lot of cap money. They hit on the two best D linemen in the draft, basically, in Burke and Fisk, both rookies out of Florida State. They hit home runs there. I think this year they're going to go try to get an elite corner. They'll move off Kupp. They still have Puka Nacua. They still have Robinson, Higbee. All those guys are still fairly cheap on rookie contracts. And then they can go out and get another, you know, wide receiver, maybe third, fourth round, or even, you know, Davante Adams if he wants to play on the cheaper end now. You know, rumors are he's interested in the Rams, Chargers. You guys mentioned Rodgers, possibly the Giants, you know, neighbors, Adams as your two wideouts. That's a
pretty
nice little combination with Rodgers. They got a good, they got a young defense there.
Giants and, actually have a lot of pieces
We haven't talked about it, Rome. I think I text you guys Friday, I believe. Maybe it was Saturday morning, but Debo, your guy Debo on the move from the 49ers to the Commanders. That's another big get for them as a team that's really trying on a rookie contract of a QB. Make a move.
Big guy. We'll see how much he has left in the tank. You know, there's no love lost over here in San Francisco. That's for sure. They packed his bags for him.
I think it'll make sense. Well, I mean, once they signed Ayuk last offseason, they were going to have to depart with somebody. And I think Debo was always going to be the person they were going to depart with.
Well, Debo's the year prior, right?
They're rumored to be shopping Ayuk too.
Yeah, get him out of here. Get all these guys.
They're taking phone calls on him.
Well, they caused a lot of drama on and off the field last year. And it was like a really tight knit team, you know, like that team. They're going to want to get rid of the cancer really quickly, which I totally respect. You know, it's a big pickup for Washington. I think what Niners got a fifth round pick out of it, not a lot. Didn't come back from injury well, so.
At most points, a lot of times, because you're looking at cap relief and stuff like that. I mean, what can I get type thing.
Yeah. Besides that, though, Saquon Broccoli got a new contract, man. Highest paid running back in the NFL. Congrats to him. Well deserved. One thing I'm worried about, man, every time there's a running back that has as many yards that he has, they have a bad year the following year. I'm like really kind of curious how this is going to look. He's fit, though. He's on the younger side, at least, like what, like just barely entering. Was he 27?
I think he just turned 28 on Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So we'll see how it goes. Typically, like it does have like a little wear and tear on the following year before some running backs get like a bounce back. But big money He's locked in. He'll definitely retire Philadelphia Eagle now.
Yeah, he signed, went through 2028. So, I mean, yeah, as long as Philly still has a good offensive line and the weapons they got and he stays healthy, I mean, I don't know if he's going to replicate another 2,000-plus season.
Probably not.
But you get 1,500 yards out of him, I would say that's probably pretty easy. 75 to 85% of the production he got this year.
Hell, 1,200 yards would be a success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Combine's over. Some stuff that came out. Will Howard didn't have a great one out of Ohio State. Missed every throw, basically. Looked pretty bad. Shedeur Sanders dropping down the board a little bit. Aaron's favorite quarterback this year, Cam Ward, climbing up the charts. Everyone's talking about how phenomenal he looks, reminding people of a Baker Mayfield type of quarterback. Those are some of the comps that are coming out of the combine. I think there was a lineman that got close to breaking the record. He had like a 4.8, pretty quick dash, but interesting year in the draft this year. A lot of quarterbacks that want to be considered number one options, but I think everyone's kind of like, they're not really sure what to expect out of this draft.
No, I think a lot of unknowns, unlike last year's draft where you're really jockeying for a lot of different players that had a lot of success in college and were seen as, you know, Aaron's guy, Bo Nix, that was, you know, I think the later one took, but hey, he was seen as potentially the most pro ready in year one. And then obviously next level talents and Heisman Trophy winners and stuff for this year's class. You know, Cam Ward, like Aaron, I was a big fan of his all year and coming to Miami, and he really kept Miami in it early on, you know, despite some of the surroundings and coaching and things like that. He probably within those first two picks is probably likely to go. I think Shedeur Sanders, I think, comes, I mean, super talented, but obvious and confident, but obviously going to come with a lot of the whole, you know, experience that everything that Shedeur and Dion and everything goes and what team's going to be looking into that. But at the end of the day, though, teams are always going to be looking for quarterbacks, and they're probably going to overvalue, you know, some of these teams, and you may get a surprise team jump up the board that's looking for, you know, looking for something. I think you got a couple teams with like aging quarterbacks, and what do they consider? Obviously you got like the Cleveland Browns of the world who, you know, they allegedly had a franchise quarterback, but they kind of really don't. And they're maybe in a jockeying position to potentially get somebody like Cam Ward if it fell to them. So a lot of stuff going into this draft.
I would hate to see Cam Ward go there. They really massaged themselves into that position, you know? They should.
Yeah, I mean,
did you want to joke? Did you want to joke on that
one
too?
It's a late night, man. I'm kind of tired, but I'm trying to liven it up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
I feel like Kramer when he does a little talk show, he invites Jerry's girlfriend over.
He's doing the Merv Griffin.
The Merv Griffin show. The Merv Griffin show. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Just going to pull the Merv Griffin set out of the trash in the alley over there in San Francisco. It's going to be hanging on the back.
Yeah. I would totally turn my living room into a talk show studio. It'd be great.
Kind of already do, right?
Kind of already do.
But yeah, I mean, going back, I mean, there's a lot of teams that do need a quarterback. I mean, Titans, Browns, Giants. Raiders, Jets,
Titans
Saints.
Are rumored to be the leading guys for Ward.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't trade out, I mean, I've been hearing both New York teams, Jets and Giants, are really interested. I mean, if you can get, you know, an overhaul of three or four first round picks here in the next 2 years, that's something to consider. I think the Browns, they would, if Cam Ward falls to them, they likely would take him. But if not, I think they'll take Carter. And then move Myles Garrett and then position themselves the following year to get a quarterback. See how that route goes for them. And then
God, you stink, dude.
The Jets, obviously, they need a quarterback. All they got is Tyrod Taylor, one QB on the roster currently. So they're going to be in the market.
He used to be good before his lung got punctured.
Yeah, by the Chargers team doctor.
Yeah.
That started the whole Justin Herbert starting and never gave that up since.
Yep.
I think he sued the Chargers too.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't know if he won or if they undisclosed payment on that. But...
NFL's really like mafia about these lawsuits, man. I don't even know what's happening.
That definitely was some big check written and it was settled.
Because yeah. They must have like a storage unit full of NDAs for
The only one that makes it real public was Gruden. Gruden always would try to air out more stuff, but everybody
Someone
else...
didn't like Gruden. I don't even think like it was that bad, or maybe I'm just not that sensitive. I don't know.
That was the Dan Snyder about it.
Yeah, it was just years ago, you know, just I say shit that I don't really mean all the time.
Yeah, I think it got taken a bit out of context, but it is what it is.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's doing great at Barstool Sports, best hire that they have.
Yeah, I mean, heck, we just talked about it last week. Tampa Bay's pinning him back in the Ring of Honor.
They are.
So there
all
you go.
All forgiven, all forgotten.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, Rummy's doing a kick-ass job over there at Barstool, so yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm not really. Yeah, I think that's pretty good for football.
I mean, the only thing I had, the Bears today traded with the Rams for offensive lineman Jonah Jackson, former Lions left guard. Little bit injury here in the Rams last season, but he signed a big free agent deal in 2024. So the Bears traded basically the pick they got for Justin Fields from the Steelers, a 6th-round pick for what looks like probably a starting guard that has experience with a Ben Johnson offense. So the Bears kind of beginning to remake the offensive line for Caleb Williams here. So a interesting trade, didn't give up much, are going to take on a pretty big salary, but the Bears got $60+ million in cap space going into this offseason, so they got the flexibility to take on some space here over the next couple years before they have to pay pay Caleb Williams. So
wow,
yeah. Sorry, I said Justin. You know,
that's all good.
It's all good.
But, well, somebody's got to pay Fields. It's just not going to be the Bears.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Bears. But yeah, but I mean, the Bears kind of starting here. Interesting. A lot of rumors of Khalil Mack leaving. Aaron's mom's Chargers to go back to the Bears, and Khalil open to more of a veteran type role and stuff like that. He's looking forward into it in a little homecoming. It'll make my Khalil Mack Bears jersey in again after they traded him. So
yeah, he should have never left. That was really all right. I guess it's just like segue straight into Jason's WWE.
You say Jason's WWE, but the whole world's talking, Rome. I don't know how you weren't, hearing about this. This is once in a generation story coming out of Elimination Chamber on Saturday night there.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know what an Elimination Chamber is. I know I've seen some Twitter stuff or X stuff talking about this, the biggest heel, whatever that means. So I was looking at like, what the hell does heel mean? Big turnaround, I guess. And I know nothing of the beef about John Cena and The Rock, but I'm assuming they speak enemies or.
All right. Well, we got a lot to unpack.
Break it down for me, man. Break it down for us.
Well, it starts. We need to start, I guess, heel and face. So heel is a bad guy. Wrestling term is a bad guy. A face is a baby face. That's a good guy. All right. So John Cena, face of WWE, notorious baby face, been a good guy for, 25 years basically as the face of WWE, really kind of took over the mantle from The Rock and Steve Austin coming out of the Attitude Era. He ushered in what was called the Ruthless Aggression Era. He was pretty much the 2010s, the poster boy for WWE, does all amazing stuff that you want a face of a company to do. He has sold the record for Make-A-Wish Foundation wishes granted, like all time by like anyone out there. Just notoriously great guy. And it was always rumored for John Cena, like Hulk Hogan before him, if you remember back in the day, is like, he's the face of the company. He's a great guy. The kids love him. He sells merchandise. It's just, the younger kids that come in the audience, this is what you're going into. And he was always asked to, as the character had been maybe running stale during a lot of times in like 2012, 2015, whatever it was. When are you going to be a bad guy and kind of freshen this thing up? John Cena, notorious outfit, wears the jean shorts, got the jorts with the hat, the hustle, loyalty, and respect catchphrase, Overall, when is this guy going to turn bad guy? And he never did. Under the Vince McMahon era, never turned bad guy. So John, probably for the last 7-8 years, he's done kind of a part-time schedule. He's gone into Hollywood a little bit, done a lot of acting, had some pretty good comedies, a couple good action movies. He was in the Fast franchise. Peacemaker on HBO. I don't know if you watched it. Hilarious show. It's a DC Comics thing that John Cena does. But working kind of a part-time schedule. Still would come back to WWE, do some short runs, some big matches, things in that. But he really hasn't been – he hasn't main-evented WrestleMania in, I don't want to say, like 10 years. WrestleMania, biggest event in the WWE calendar. So get into our current situation, Rome. A year ago, a little less than a year ago, it was in Toronto where the Elimination Chamber was. He came back for a pay-per-view Money in the Bank, and he said, next year, 2025, is my last year in wrestling. This is my farewell. It's his retirement tour. He's basically going to do a full-time schedule in 2025, but this is it. So all the big matches that he could potentially have with up-and-coming talent, with some of the legendary feuds potentially out there, this is the last, you know, year of John Cena. So he comes back to Royal Rumble, runner-up in Royal Rumble, loses to Jey Uso. We talked about that in the last pod. So during this run, though, Rome, do you know who Cody Rhodes is?
I do know of him, not too much of him.
Cody Rhodes, the son of the legendary Dusty Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, the current WWE champion. Really, you could say he is the current face of WWE. Cody Rhodes, I'll give you a little backstory. He was basically the prodigy, came up as like a 20-year-old in WWE, had a run, never got to that main event, got frustrated, left WWE, went to Japan, a bunch of independents. He ended up being part of starting the now rival wrestling promotion under Jacksonville Jaguars owner Tony Khan. He was kind of the face of this new upstart company, AEW, started up with them, was them for their first 3-year run. Some things happened, left, went back to WWE under his current character, the American Nightmare. It was one of the biggest WrestleMania surprises ever. And since then, 3 years ago, has been the face. Back-to-back main events. He's been the WWE champion since defeating Roman Reigns last year. So he's been the face. This is the guy that you want, Rome, all right? So he's the new, I guess, John Cena, if you will, face of the company, all right? So we're heading into WrestleMania season, Rome. Who is his opponent going to be? And then The Rock comes back on the Netflix premiere at the beginning of the year, Rome. All right, Netflix premiere. Uh-huh. Rock comes back. Rock is now a bad guy, Rome. He's a heel. All right, he's on the board of directors for TKO. You know, he's kind of an ownership character. He's coming as the final boss now because The Rock, the final boss. He's the best one out there. So, comes on the Netflix premiere and says he had beef with Cody last year. He beat the crap out of him in a parking lot, bloodied him up in the feud last year. But then he puts this admiration for Cody Rhodes out there up in at the Netflix premiere. And everyone's wondering, Rock, what are you doing? You broke kayfabe. Kayfabe, Rome, if you think that's kind of the wrestling. He's breaking the fourth wall, you know, wrestling, you know, kind of scripted. But he's saying all these good things about Cody Rhodes. Okay, where is it at? Everyone's kind of mad. But then The Rock comes back in New Orleans, announces WrestleMania. WrestleMania 42 is going to be in New Orleans here coming up. Calls Cody out to the ring. And in true wrestling storyline, Aaron, do you know what The Rock wanted from Cody Rhodes that night?
He wanted his soul, man.
He wanted his soul, Rome. The Rock asked for Cody Rhodes' soul. He wanted him to sell out. He wanted him to be his corporate champion. The Rock, the final boss, board of directors, TKO, wanted him to be his corporate champion. So he gave him until Saturday night at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in Toronto on Cody's answer. Would he be the corporate champion, The Rock's corporate champion? Give him his soul. Well, Rome, we fast forward to Saturday night. We have the Elimination Chamber match, 6 of WWE's best winner, number one contender for the WWE Championship to face Cody Rhodes. I'll spare you the details of the match. Incredible match top to bottom with some of WWE's biggest stars. John Cena ends up winning. The match ends. The chamber comes up. Cody Rhodes comes out, congratulates Cena. We get John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. Two basically good guys are going to face off at WrestleMania. The Rock then comes out with Travis Scott.
I did still see clip of that.
Still trying to figure out why Travis Scott is there, but it got a lot of likes because Travis Scott comes out with his little hardcore championship belt with The Rock, all right? Comes out to the ring.
What's up with his, he's got a little sage going too, right? He's going.
Yeah, he was doing some sage in the ring. It was interesting going on. I thought he was lighting up a blunt in the corner.
Who knows what's going on
with Travis Scott. We'll get to more of Travis Scott in a second, Rome. But all right, so the final boss, The Rock, comes down. He asked Cody Rhodes, what's your answer? Are you going to give me your soul? Cody looks at him and tells The Rock to fuck off, which was crazy because they didn't bleep it out on Netflix internationally and Peacock here locally.
Oh,
what was going on? Crowd gets a big reaction. Big baby face tells the big bad guy, The Rock, to fuck off. All right, great. John Cena is still in the ring celebrating his win. He gets a big kick out of it. He goes and hugs Cody, congratulates him. Then all of a sudden, Rome, John Cena's face goes from this big smiley face down to a seriousness. Stares at The Rock. The Rock goes across, does a throat slit slash to John Cena. John Cena goes back. Crowd's confused. Cena kicks Cody in the balls. He goes down and then proceeds to beat the ever-loving crap out of Cody, which led Travis Scott to giving Cody a really hard punch that rumors are he broke Cody's eardrum and gave him a black eye. So no one told Travis Scott, you need to pull those punches a little bit. This is real, but not that real. So John Cena, Rome, turning heel. The biggest heel turn since 1996. You know what happened in 96, Rome?
No.
Aaron, tell him what happened in 1996.
1996, man. Bash at the Beach. Hulk Hogan, now known as Hollywood Hulk Hogan, formed with the Outsiders, the NWO, the New World Order, the New World Organization of Wrestling, brother.
I love that one.
That is right. So just like us, we are NWO. We are NWO for life. That, Rome, up until this last Saturday, and still is. I can debate that with you a little bit. But Hulk Hogan turning in 1996, Bash of the Beast, the biggest heel turn in wrestling history. It utterly is the moment that transformed wrestling in the 90s, you know, started what we call the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wrestling War between WCW and WWF. This is on levels with that. Since Hulk Hogan, you haven't had a notorious good guy really turn his back, become a bad guy. And in John Cena, his last year as an active wrestler, going to go into retirement. WWE, Triple H in charge right now, taking just a huge risk, because they could have rode this thing out to the sunset. It was the farewell tour of farewell tours, and they're going to go on the final hour in the final year to turn John Cena into a bad guy. This thing, Rome, was just trending worldwide on X. On Monday, it was on First Take. It was on Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. Oh, it was making his rounds. It was everywhere, all over social media. Everyone was getting this stuff. So really, it injected life into what we call the road to WrestleMania right now. This Cody Rhodes and John Cena match now with The Rock kind of in, you know, corporate Cena's corner here, you know, kind of doing it. So you're probably anticipating a huge summer, potentially John Cena winning the WWE Championship, being a heel champion. You're going to have all sorts of top names going and buying and have a great feud. So, Rome, the wrestling world is on fire right now. This is kind of a once in a generation. Ariel Helwani, you know, Aaron's guy from MMA, he's a massive wrestling fan. He was talking about his pod, and I 100% agree with him. This is probably the last time in wrestling you're ever going to have something like this, because you don't get a guy be that pure baby face good guy for like 20 something years that ultimately has the heel turn. I mean 96 was the last time we talked about, and the modern day wrestler, it's just more real life where it kind of plays, you know, these guys are good, bad, kind of play in the gray a lot of times. You don't really get as much as you get now, but John Cena was able to maintain that, and this is why I think it was such a big deal. So you gave me, I don't know how much, 20 minutes here, Rome. I broke it down for you. Exciting times. I texted, you know, you guys in the group. You didn't respond, but Aaron was all about it. He knew what type of big deal this was.
Definitely.
I think,
man,
I was busy doing wine pairings really late that night. You guys, I saw your guys' stuff, yeah, and man, I was like, I'm getting slammed right now. I'll watch this later.
I agree with Jason, man. This goes back and rivals, you know. I would say I think Hogan turning heel was a little bit bigger, but yep. Everybody's going back to that moment. I've gone back and watched the replay of Hogan turning heel probably about five times since freaking Jason text. Interesting or not, Cody Rhodes involved in this one. Dusty Rhodes on the call there at Bash at the Beach with Tony Giovanni, Bobby the Brain Heenan when Hogan came out. I think the Hogan one, no one saw it coming. It was so big back then. You know, the golden age of wrestling, as some people like to predict and say. I mean, I was in love with wrestling then, but just the hatred, if you go back and watch from the fans throwing all the garbage and everything in, like, that was real. that wasn't like staged. Those people there were in shock. I mean, they go back and tell stories of little kids, Hulkster kids, just crying their eyes out. Hogan basically just shoving it to the fans. Cena didn't say anything, but Hogan, you know, basically with Mean Gene, may he rest in peace, going on a 5-minute rant. Classic. That is classic wrestling at its best. And anytime a guy like this turns heel, it gets me, it gets my blood boiling. And I'm ready for WrestleMania. And John Cena is going to win the title at WrestleMania. I'm going to go on the record right now. Guarantee it.
I agree. I agree, Aaron. The Hogan turn, I think, was bigger. I think what it did for the industry, this is Ariel Helwani's take too, which I completely agree. I would have said the same thing, is it changed the industry at that moment. This isn't going to change the industry. It's Cena's last year. I think what it does do is it's going to just launch just – it just injected interest into this Mania. It will for wrestling all year. It's going to create some tremendous feuds and storylines, you know, coming out of it. And yeah, like going back to the 90s, what Aaron's talking about, yeah, the garbage throwing, kids crying, just the utter shock about it. I mean, it was a different time. I think in this moment, the shock was there. The crowd was shocked because everyone's kind of wanted this, but they didn't know would WWE actually do it, and they did it. I think you had the online videos of kids crying at home and parents recording them, and this with John Cena and everything. I mean, it was John Cena did a Make-A-Wish before the event too. So I mean, this was how, like, you know, he was good guy through and through to the end up until this very moment. Now I'm going to go out and be the biggest heel that they can be. So I'm very interested when he does make his reappearance on TV. What does his look like? You know, notorious baseball hat, T-shirt, wristbands and the jorts and run into the ring. You know, is he going to switch up? Is he going to be wearing a suit? Does he change his, you know, his entrance music, which is kind of synonymous with his entrance as it goes there? Like, he has talked, John Cena has talked about in interviews before that there was a time when he was potentially going to turn heel when he feuded with The Rock back in WrestleMania 28, 29 days. And he had this whole alternative theme music produced. He had boots and tights and stuff ready for an aesthetic change. So I expect Cena probably to change this aesthetic, and you'll see something different, you know, totally changing what this character is going to be and how he's going to interact with the fans. It's going to be some very interesting times. So I'm excited. I was already going to Mania, but I think, like, you know, like getting Aaron excited into it, talking about, I had other friends texting me. I texted a group of friends that, like, Aaron watched wrestling back in the day, and they loosely kind of know what's going on now. I just texted a holy shit, and they all just said within 5 minutes, they knew what I was talking about exactly, because they went on X and it was just trending that, like, this is kind of like one of those moments right now everyone talked about, where it's just, and one of my friends is like, Jay, I'll go to Mania with you now. I was like, nah, it's too late. It's too late.
The ticket. The ticket price is going to be outrageous. Tickets now are up. You didn't get it.
It's too late. You needed to know something's going to happen.
But Mania is going to be crazy. I mean, yeah. I mean, I remember when Hogan turned, because I mean, even the WCW wasn't even sure if Hogan was going to turn heel. I mean, it was kind of like that last minute, the day of the event, they still were unsure. I mean, because leading up to the event, the Outsiders, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, everybody knew there was a third guy. They've been building that up for months leading up to that, as they kind of just came in, randomly attacked people. They had the three on three tag match.
Do you know who the third man plan B was going to be if Hogan didn't do it, Aaron?
I believe, if I remember correct, it was going to be Lex Luger.
No, it was Sting.
Sting. Okay, I knew it was one of the two. Because I thought when Luger got hurt early in that fight, that was kind of like a setup to where he got, you remember he got the cart, they carted him off on the stretcher. I thought he was going to probably come back out again, and they're like, oh, he's back. He's made a miracle. And then he was going to be the third guy. I wasn't sure Hogan was the third guy until I kind of like, I didn't like Hogan when he was, until he turned NWO. I despised Hogan. I loved like Ric Flair, and he'd always beat him. I was just like, oh, I hate Hogan. And he came out. But I could see, like, the way he was walking when he was lining up to do that leg drop. I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to be the third guy. And then once he dropped the leg drop, I was like, I fell in love with Hollywood Hogan, NWO for life, man. No doubt about it.
I loved it.
The best part about the call, too, was Bobby the Brain Keenan on the call. People dispute this, but he goes, whose side is he on? Whose side is he on? And everyone's like,
what are you talking about? He's like, no, whose side is he on?
What was great about that, and there's some elements with Cena right now too, but like the Bobby the Brain Heenan, if you remember like your like WWF history, like it was pretty much Hogan versus Bobby the Brain Heenan, and he just had a new guy like every year. The feud was really like Hogan versus Heenan. So when Hogan finally turns, Heenan's going back through like a decade of things of basically, I was right. I was telling you guys all along this guy was a piece of crap. And, and so you saw last night on Monday Night Raw, so CM Punk, one of my favorites, incredible promos, one of the best talkers of the business, started Monday Night Raw, just ripping down Cena, The Rock, Seth Rollins, somebody else. But he goes in on Cena. And if you go back to one of the classic feuds of CM Punk, John Cena, is basically there's things he said about Cena in that feud. Is like, I told you 10 years ago about this guy of who he really is. And so that's where some of this stuff kind of just calls back, is this guy's not as good as you think he was. And I've told you, and it makes these guys who were notorious bad guys all of a sudden look right. And those are this is the beauty of pro wrestling, Rom. This is why we love it.
Bobby the Brain Heenan always hated Hogan, like always, even when he was winning. So, yeah, like I said, I've went back and watched that clip probably 5 times here in the last 2 days. And Dusty Rhodes is like, Hogan, here he is. And Bobby the Brain Heenan, like Jason, says, whose side is he on? Whose side is he on? And they're like, what are you talking about? And then when he goes in there and drops the leg drop, he's like, he's the third guy. I told you, he's the third guy. He's betrayed WCW. And then Bobby, like, classic Bobby, where does this leave us? Where does this leave me? I've been telling you guys, you can't trust him. Classic, dude. Classic wrestling at its best right there.
Well, that was awesome, man. That was great. That was a good recap.
Great recap. So we'll be looking forward to Mania season, man. Bring it to you, Rome. It's going to be exciting. You know,
I'll watch it. I'll watch it this year. I might as well.
Two-night extravaganza, man. Ooh. It's going to be a big weekend in Vegas.
It's in Vegas,
is that like,
huh?
Is it Easter weekend in Vegas?
It is Easter weekend in Vegas.
That's what I thought. Big weekend, man. I'm ready, man. I'm going to get my NWO shirt. I'm going to be ready to rock and roll.
You know what? Man, I used to have a whole bunch of NWO gear. Well, like, I always liked the bad guys. I've always liked them, and then with Dennis Rodman there too, I was like, I was all in. Dennis Rodman was my favorite.
Maybe that was the whole Travis Scott trying to Dennis Rodman type look. That's what I was thinking.
It was a little bit of the callback. I think there's questions on a little bit with Cena, The Rock, Travis Scott. Like,
Travis Scott isn't that tough.
I don't know. Well, he punched the hell out of Cody
yes,
Rhodes.
Yes.
So I did see on X where The Rock was laughing off, you know, off scene or whatever it is, after the fact, because he was kind of teasing Travis Scott, like, to do that, like, oh, you have to go all in, you know, when you're doing this, and he didn't expect Travis Scott to actually go that far in, and so it was like a joke that everyone knew, but Travis Scott.
Well, I mean, you got to lay it in and look real. I mean, you've had a lot of celebrities, but where I give WWE credit on a business side right now, they are getting into pop culture like they never have before. If you look at the type of celebrities in the past couple years they brought in, like Bad Bunny, you know, has wrestled at WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble and stuff like that. And that is something that you wouldn't have seen before. Like, wrestling, you know, commentators kind of scoffed at that, but Bad Bunny's one of the biggest artists in the world and the type of attention he's got. Travis Scott, you know, like, streaming wise, one of the biggest, you know, hip hop artists in the world, brings stuff, you know, people were at this, like Drake was at this event, never even shown on TV. Just the type of like people they're getting coming to WWE events, showing that they're fans, supporting the brand, being a part of the show. I mean, Logan Paul, yeah, they had Ishow Speed. You know, we talked about in the Royal Rumble recap about that. Just a lot of different elements that WWE is really that's making this, hey, it's a great show, and we can also have a lot of celebrity interactions. That's always been a part of WWE, but I think it's taking it to a different level now in kind of the modern eras. And yeah, like, I think the Travis Scott aspect, like Robin before him, like, I don't know if they're going to do a whole stable, you know, not NWO, but it, you know, is there going to be other guys Cena's going to bring in to really make this like elevate some different people? And you're going to have some different stuff during this kind of summer run. It could be interesting on what they do. Like, they talked about Travis Scott potentially being in a match. Then do you get to some point where, you know, you are bringing in Bad Bunny or somebody like that?
Well,
in like
who is Travis Scott tag, like, rival? Like, who's he got beef with, or who has he had beef with? Because remember, Rodman they brought him in, and then DDP brought in Karl Malone, and then you had that tag match, right? Rodman, Hollywood Hogan versus Diamond Dallas Page, Karl Malone at Sturgis.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Sturgis at Hog Wild, man.
I drove the Sturgis thing. That's really cool.
Then they brought in Jay Leno the next year.
Oh man,
hey. I don't know, bro. I just bring up Bad Bunny just because another rapper that's already been part of WWE's landscape that they can make something just a music, you know, tag team event, something like there. But I think there's a lot of different things they'll probably explore out of that, because Bad Bunny wrestled a match in Puerto Rico, was probably one of the hottest shows WWE's ever done, like insane atmosphere when they had Bad Bunny wrestle Damian Priest in Puerto Rico. So I think there's different avenues they could potentially go with it. I think there's definitely something they're teasing, because it was interesting in the moment that Travis Scott's just with The Rock. He's in the ring during this, you know, you look 20 years from now, what is it going to look like when this legendary Cena heel turn happens and like Travis Scott's just standing in the ring ropes and like the screenshots behind him?
I didn't know. Like, I don't follow wrestling like I used to, or like you do, Jason. Like, I didn't know if him and like Rock were already kind of buddy-buddy, like behind the scenes and in the ring, to where people are like, okay, like I could see. Like, it was Travis Scott that came out first, and then the Rock followed. So, obviously, Travis Scott, his soul to The Rock.
So the soul of the final boss, man. Yeah, The Rock's done some interesting things with his entrance music the last two appearances. So I think he had a little Wayne mix when he was in New Orleans. And then before he came out to this one, they hit the If You Smell. And then all of a sudden you had a Travis Scott beat drop and then got into The Rock's music. And that's when Travis Scott came out and then The Rock. So I don't, just interesting entertainment, Hollywood, you know, wrestling, all kind of mixing together. But yeah, there was no real storyline of why Travis Scott was there, but maybe they're going to play it off in the future.
So who's Jey Uso fighting at WrestleMania?
Jey Uso is fighting Gunther. He's the world heavyweight champion.
Okay.
So that'll be kind of a David versus Goliath type matchup that they're kind of teasing there. We'll see. I was talking to some friends about that. I don't know if that actually main events either one of the nights. I think you're probably looking at that probably kicking off one of the nights with the Jey Uso entrance, which is usually a big crowd kind of get up type thing. But
yeah,
there's a lot of big implications to the Mania card here coming down the stretch.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Jason. Cena's going to win. I think he's going to hold the title for a while, and then we'll see what it looks like at the end of the year, whether or not he stays heel, whether or not the good side gets back. We'll find out. That's going to be interesting to see what they do with him.
They just can't have it end after a partial year, right?
No, he's fighting the whole year up until December. So in December is his last. There's a rumored show in Boston, which is John Cena's hometown. That'll be a kind of a special, you know, PLE, they call them, not pay-per-views, because they're not pay-per-views no more, but a special PLE in Boston. That would be his last show, is the rumor. So I'd imagine probably he comes full circle back to the babyface at a certain point. I think his title run, you're potentially seeing build. I would think at least building to SummerSlam. And then
is SummerSlam still in August?
It is. So, and it was two nights. I think it might be a two nighter this year. So you might, a CM Punk match could be one of them. People have talked about what his last match will be, but at some point I think they get back to a Randy Orton aspect of it, because that's kind of like one of his legendary rivals. So I think you'll see a Punk match with Cena. I think you'll see an Orton match. And then that last match, it could be Orton, or it could be maybe the rematch versus Cody. You know, Cena goes out on his back, Cody gets his revenge type thing in the hometown. Yada, yada, yada.
He's beating Cody Rhodes of his own Rolex, man.
Own Rolex.
Busted him open it. That's doing a man dirty, man.
All right. You guys got anything else?
I mean, we can go all night, Rome, but I feel that you've given me more than enough of my wrestling. I knew that when it came to this pod, this is what I wanted to talk about. Aaron was all in.
Oh, you sounded hyped up, man. I loved it.
Oh, man. I was beyond hyped. It was the moments you wait for, because I think every year you want something that's just going to add juice to a WrestleMania card. And this is, last year it was The Rock's participation and what they did with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and all the kind of the drama behind it. This is the story heading into the event, and I think just gives life to the entire card.
When's Mania?
April 19th and 20th. I think.
That's a fucking month. Jesus, it's fast.
And we got 6 weeks of a build. I think we're 46 days out.
46. You think you have like a calendar clock?
Well, you know, when you watch Monday Night Raw,
45, 46, yeah.
I want to say last night in Raw, they said they were 47 days out or something like that. I can't exactly remember.
Nice.
You know, they count down for you on the show if you watch weekly.
Well, sweet, man. I really appreciate it. That was awesome. I guess we'll have some updates then as we get it to WrestleMania.
Count on it.
Yeah. Great. I think I'll do it for this pod. Catch us later in the week. We are out.